The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today's reading is from Marcus Aurelius Meditations, Book 4, Chapter 22. Do not wander without a purpose, but in all your impulses render what is just, and in all your imaginations maintain your faculty of comprehension and understanding. So when I first read this and I encountered the line, do not wander without a purpose, my first impression was to dismiss this as a repetition, because we've seen this message a lot, right? In Book 2, Chapter 5, he talks about the goal of being freed from every random aim. In Book 2, Chapter 16, he criticizes those who behave in any matter without a plan or a conscious purpose. In Book 3, Paragraph 4, he cautions us to avoid what is merely casual and without purpose. So this is like a theme. I'm sure there's more cases we've read also, and I'm sure there's more cases to come. So I thought, okay, fine, don't wander without a purpose. I get it. Let's move on. But then my Mishle training kicked in, okay? And those who have learned Mishle with me are aware that Shlomo HaMelech's style is... typical style is to use opposites. And every pasuk, every verse, he'll one half of the pasuk will talk about the wise or the righteous decision, and then the other half of the pasuk will talk about the foolish or wicked decision. So I noticed that this is that this chapter in Aurelius also has opposites. He says, "Do not wander without a purpose." Okay, but then he says what the opposite of that is. Which you would think, if you didn't read on, you would think that wandering without a purpose, the opposite of it is to wander with a purpose. Okay, but he's much clearer and more specific than that. He says, "But in all your impulses, render what is just, and in all your imaginations, maintain your faculty of comprehension and understanding." So it's not that he's just telling you don't be random, but instead be purposeful. He's saying instead of being random, then you should be in line with your impulses should be in line with justice, and your imaginations should not obscure your faculty of comprehension. So now that kind of raises the question, well, what did he mean then by wandering without a purpose? So I actually had to look at the original Greek to make sure that I understood the subtleties of what he's saying. And obviously I don't know Greek. But I started with the term imagination here, and I looked at the Greek, and the Greek term for imagination here is fantasia, which thankfully Epictetus talks about a lot. So what I'm going to read here is the introduction to Epictetus's handbook, as written by Keith Seddon, who's a modern Stoic thinker that I like reading. So this is his explanation here of what it means by impression, of what Stoics mean by impression. And I'm reading this in its entirety because he gives an amusing but good example. He says, "An impression, fantasia, is what is impressed into the mind of any of the senses in a way directly analogous to a signet ring imprinting its image into wax. To have an experience of anything is at one and the same time the same thing as having an impression of something. The interpretation of what any one impression is an impression of is almost invariably spontaneous and immediate." Okay, now that doesn't, that's a little hard to follow, I guess, in audio, but he gives an example now. "The fact that I see a cat on the mat is usually a good guide as to whether there is a cat on the mat. Though this automatic interpretive faculty is not infallible, since I may really be seeing my screwed up jacket on the mat. The interpretive faculty takes us from having an impression of something to having an impression that something is the case. And the content of this second stage can always be expressed in terms of the proposition. In this case, a cat is on the mat. This is what I believe, with more or less conviction, to be the case," said Epictetus, following the Stoic tradition, talks of our assenting to impressions, which is to say our assenting to that which is our spontaneous interpretation takes to reveal to be the case. How we view what is happening and what we decide to do next are dependent upon what we assent to, and thus the relevance of all this for our moral conduct." Okay, so just to summarize, he's saying that the impression, what he means by fantasia or impression is the first like snapshot that your senses and imagination give you of what the reality is. So that could be accurate, of a cat being on the mat, or it could be inaccurate in the sense that really it's your jacket that you mistook for a cat. Okay, but now he goes to another stage. He says, "But over and this is still Seddon talking, but over and above our being aware that something is the case, there is another stage of interpretation, and this occurs when we evaluate what we believe we are experiencing. And this allows for a different sort of assent, namely our assenting to whether something is good or bad. Let us imagine that I am not fooled by my screwed-up jacket lying on the mat, and I do not assent to its being a cat, and instead I assent correctly to it being my jacket. But now the second type of assent comes into play when I evaluate what I take to be the case, and this is the sort of assent that most interests Epictetus. If I were not a Stoic trainee already making fair progress, I may well evaluate the situation as bad, and to do so will occasion a range of further responses. I may, for instance, be driven by anger to punish the person who dropped my nice new jacket on the floor, and this in itself constitutes feeling upset and losing my equanimity, and quite obviously undermines my hope for leading a happy life. So, again, two stages of encountering a fantasia. One is to see whether it is correct as a snapshot of the reality. Is this a cat or is this a jacket? The second is to evaluate, is this good or bad? And then I guess the third stage is how you act on it. And just to give a personal example of the second stage, the evaluation stage, which I talked about last week, is when I accidentally misjudged the space that my car could fit into. And then I drove over that curb and tore the front shield thingy on my car. So the fantasia that immediately beset me was, this is bad. Okay. And I had to actually stop and think, okay, well, is this actually bad? Or the other fantasia that hit me is, I am stupid. Okay. And again, I'm fairly confident. I mean, there are times when I've done things that are stupid. Maybe I was impatient there, but I don't think this was stupid because I just, I didn't see that the curb had two layers and I just made a mistake, you know. Maybe you can say that that's a mistake of relying on the first impression. But to sum it up, said in quotes Epictetus's discourses, where he says how to deal with impressions. Epictetus says, in the first place, do not allow yourself to be carried away by the intensity of your impression, but say, impression, wait for me a little. Let me see what you are and what you represent. Let me test you. Then afterwards, do not allow it to draw you on by picturing what may come next. For if you do, it will lead you wherever it pleases. But rather, you should introduce some fair and noble impression to replace it and banish this base and sordid one. Now, that statement, if you allow yourself to be taken in by the impression, it will lead you wherever it pleases. That, I want to say, is what Aurelius meant when he says, do not wander without a purpose, but in all your impulses render what is just, and in all your imaginations maintain your faculty of comprehension and understanding. In other words, it's not that he's criticizing randomness or lacking a purpose. Rather, and here's the key insight, he's saying that if you are living a life where you are uncritically assenting to impressions, where you just give in to whatever you initially perceive and don't test it, and then you give in to whatever evaluation your imagination prompts you to take, and you just don't examine it critically, so then you are putting yourself into the hands of your impressions, your imaginations. And that's the type of randomness he's talking about, is instead of being guided by your critical faculty, you're being guided by your imagination's first impressions. And by the way, I meant to introduce this in the beginning. The closest term that the Rishonim use, and I believe this is a Rishonic term, I don't know if it occurs in Tanakh, is, actually, no, it does occur in Tanakh. I just don't know where it is right now. I'm not going to look it up. Ha'ole al rucho, that which arises in your spirit or in your psyche. That's the term that, Rabbeinu Yoni uses this a lot in Mishlei. Ha'ole al rucho is, I think, the closest equivalent to what the Stoics mean by impressions or imaginations, fantasia. And then the other term that Aurelius uses here is impulse, which I don't know how to pronounce it, if it's horme or orme, which is which the meaning of that is basically being spurred to action. So to sum it all up, sorry if this is a little scattered this morning. To sum it all up, Aurelius is saying that if you allow yourself to uncritically assent to your first impressions, so then you'll be in the grips of this randomness of just whatever, you know, whatever wherever your imagination leads you. Instead, you should focus on what is just and apply your critical faculty to these impressions and test them and delay them and actually strive to make sure that they are accurate and that your evaluations are rooted in the objective good rather than the subjective good. Okay, again, sorry, that was a little scattered. I had planned to say one thing and then the thoughts led me elsewhere. Anyway, that's it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today and would like to support my production of even more Torah content, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweis. Link is in the description. Thank you to my listeners for listening, and thank you to my patrons for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.